What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Trending Thoughts. I'm your host, Torrey Smith, and I hope y'all enjoyed the podcast last week. I had a great time with my co-host, Chanel Smith, so much so that she's back this week to continue our conversation away from COVID and sports into COVID and going back to school. Chanel is a former teacher, so she's obviously the perfect guest to have on this show because she continues to represent for the teachers every single day, and she's also very active with our kids and teaching them. Welcome to the show again, Chanel. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Are you great?
I am great. I'm great. As great as I can be.
You didn't go, hey, or anything, nothing?
That's not today. That's all you get. Sorry.
Kids killing you today. Well, this is something that we've been talking about heavy in our house. You know, we watch TV, we read together, we follow different school districts to see what's going on, to see how it impacts our family. So this is something that, you know, I'd say is for sure a passion of ours and really you. You know, you're dialed in on every school board meeting. Yeah. And trying to see what's going on in different areas around us.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out because right now it's hard to make a decision as to what's the best decision for the kids. And so I'm always just looking out at all these different meetings to see who has the answer. And I think I've really come to realize that there is no 100% like perfect answer. But I'm always just hoping that one meeting sticks out and that someone has this extravagant plan that's just going to work out beautifully for everyone. And I think what we've learned through talking about is every option is going to be great for some people and not so great for others. And so those conversations have been pretty consistent every week that we're talking about, you know, what's the best decision? Which way? How can we make this work better? Who's going to be left out? Who's going to, you know, excel in this situation? And so it's a lot, man. It's a lot for parents. It's a lot for teachers. It's a lot for administrators. It's a lot for everybody. It's a lot for the kids. And so we just have to make the best decision for our kids, I guess, at the end.
And every school district is making one of three decisions. Either you're going back online virtually, like we finished in the spring in a lot of states, or Virginia, where they literally said, hey, y'all are done. You ain't doing nothing. They shut everything down back home. Or you're going back in person where things are normal, or some places are doing a hybrid model.
Yeah.
Let's talk about all three of these and really break them down, the pros and the cons of each. Because when it comes to online, as a person with attention issues.
Yeah.
I hate it with a passion.
You wouldn't have done so well with the virtual learning situation.
Not at all. I would have been the worst.
I mean, I think it's, don't get me wrong, there are some kids that are going to do great. I know a lot of kids who are like introverts and who aren't really into the whole social scene. They're like, oh, this is going to work beautifully. Kind of like how quarantining was for me and you. Like, we don't like to go out much. And so to be at home, like this was actually fun for us. And so I think some kids are going to really thrive with the virtual learning. I think in most cases, it's going to work out better if they have a support system. I think it's going to be hard to sit a kid at a computer for however many hours. And different districts have different schedules, but most of them are for 4+ hours. And just expect them to be there by themselves with no support, you know? And so I think what's going to be key is to have someone, even if it's not a tutor or a teacher, to sit there to make sure that the kids stay engaged. I think that's going to be a challenge, obviously, is keeping the kids engaged.
And for some people, that's easy for them to do. You know, their mom may be home, grandma, right. Auntie, yep. Someone else. But for others, you know, mom and dad have to go to work. So that's something that, you know, people are working extremely hard to figure out where they can fill in those gaps. And that's something that we ourselves are going to work on. And we'll probably talk about that a little more later on.
Yeah, the timing of it is going to be hard. Even if you're working from home, what I've realized with just teaching my kids during the summer, it takes a lot of work and you have to keep them occupied. Or, you know, you'll have quiet times when they're probably doing something they're not supposed to be doing. And so as a working parent from home, just I'm interested to see how people plan to manage their time to make sure that their kids are focused and active, but also that they're able to completely focus on their work as well. So that's going to be another barrier. And obviously some people can afford a babysitter. Some people can't. And I think that's where we're going to start to see these gaps widen even more from families who have and families who don't. And so I'm interested to see what the school districts, and that we've been asking questions everywhere we go. We've been calling up the different school districts. We had a meeting with Howard County. We had a meeting with Baltimore City, just to really ask all of those questions of how are you going to meet the kids' needs academically and mentally? Because a lot of kids are probably going crazy right now. And so how are you going to make sure that they're getting what they need on the social emotional side? We're asking about supplies. We're asking about supports. What are they going to do to make sure kids are engaged, make sure that they're attending school? And most districts, you know, they have their answers and they have people ready to go. I know one thing we talked about is attendance. And we talked to Baltimore City School, and they basically said they have people at each site or almost each site that can go door to door to knock on doors to make sure kids are engaged or to find out why they're not, you know, showing up for class and to get them what they need. So they're considering all these things, which is great. But again, I think attendance is going to be an issue. Engagement is going to be an issue, and just making sure you're able to meet the needs of each student virtually.
And that's something that they've learned from the spring. So hopefully a lot of other school districts will kind of follow their lead and make sure that they're ahead of the game, because you can't wait too late. You
know, I feel we've like all they been in
college.
Late,
we've taken online classes in the past in college, and if you get delayed even a little bit, it is tough to catch up. You take it for granted, like, oh, it's online, nowhere. Like, no, you better stay on top of your job. And these are kids doing this.
Yeah,
I mean, it's every kindergartners. Like, come on, this is a lot to ask out of them, and we have to make sure that we're staying ahead of the game. But let's talk about going in person.
Well, before we go there, another thing, what I was thinking about virtually is my kids, especially, they're hands-on learners. And so not having access to those manipulatives and the hands-on stuff, I'm curious to see how school districts are going to make sure that the kids get what they need. And then I'm just picturing, I'm trying to picture as a teacher, if I had to do this, how would I, 20 kids in the class, how would I make sure that each kid is on track and knows what they're doing? Like, you can't stop and be like, John, put your camera back on, do this, and then come back and say, Susie, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to be interesting, but teachers are really, really creative. And I think that everyone's going to have to step their game up this year and really find ways to keep their kids engaged and make sure that they're meeting the needs of every single student in their class. Like, that's our job.
Yeah, we need to pay the teachers more. I say that all the time. You know, I remember watching you and spending so much of your own money making sure that your kids had what they needed. And I'm not just talking about individually. I'm talking about what they needed to thrive, even in the classroom, because each teacher's classroom isn't the same.
Oh, you know.
There are teachers that go above and beyond, and we don't appreciate them enough. But I hope through this pandemic, people have recognized the value of teachers, and it's not just to watch, to babysit your kid, which is like a lot of people try to treat them. Like, they're adding value to your child in so many different ways. And there are literally parents out here who don't even like dealing with their own kids. So I think for them, they need to recognize the value that these teachers have and the challenge that they're going to have and the things that they're doing to make sure that their kids are okay.
This is 100% going to be a tougher challenge than work dealing with the kids in school. It's going to take so much more effort, so much more differentiation, so much more attention and time to really plan and craft engaging lessons for these kids. And I think our teachers are capable. But one of the things that people are saying that virtual learning is not going to work for their kid, I think we get caught up a lot on the fact it's not going to be ideal. It's just not. I mean, some kids thrive. Some kids thrive online. Some kids will not.
You said earlier, there is no perfect model.
There is no perfect model. But when we're thinking about the academic piece, as a teacher, it does stress me out. Like, the kids who are already struggling, already behind, they're going to get even more behind. And that, like, that stresses me out. But I think we have to not lower our expectation, but have to take it for what it is. No, this is not going to be perfect. But at the end of the day, our kids are going to be safe. if they go the virtual way. But the safety part, when we talk about safety, there's some kids who are not going to be safe because they're home. And you talked about this before, that school for some kids is a safe haven.
Right.
So that's another thing that, you know, it's a lot of give and take, a lot of pros and cons.
Yeah, there are kids out here right now that are being abused even more because they're not in school. Obviously, right. It's summertime, but, you know, you can go back to the spring. You know, when school ended, they're being abused more. They're not getting the same type of meals they were getting when they were in school. They weren't getting a break from their environment by being in school. So there are so many different things that the kids kind of had to pile onto their shoulders. And that doesn't even apply to just impoverished areas, you know, or marginalized communities. It's like that in some well-off areas in their families, but it's just behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important to note. But online is tough for a lot of people. And I feel for the kids because I am one of those kids when it comes to that attention span and all of those different challenges. So I feel it's a tough situation. Now let's talk about in person, though.
Fully in person?
Fully in person. Like, I'm talking like Texas, Florida, where
Georgia,
where you don't care. Like Indiana, like, all right, we're starting school and things are normal and COVID isn't real and our kids are going to learn. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think, like, we talk about pros and cons. I think some people look at it and say, okay, well, three kids may get really sick. A teacher may get sick and die, right? Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario. And they're like, but numbers game wise, that's still thousands of kids who were just fine and who still, you know, mental health was great because they were out and socializing and all these things. And academically, they're thriving. So it's like some people play the numbers game. Statistically, not that great of a population is gonna be hit by it. But for me, it would just give me so much anxiety to send my kid to school every single day. I know some schools don't even require masks, so that's just not my wave. Obviously, the kids love it. A lot of kids want to be back in school. They want to play sports. They want to have their socialization. They learn better in a physical environment, and I get that. So I guess that would be the pros of it. Obviously, the cons is it's great until it's not great. Like we talked about last week, it takes one person to get sick. One teacher to get really sick. I know there was a school in, you said, I think it was Arizona or Indiana.
Arizona.
It was just a couple teachers in the building for the summer. And one of the teachers got sick. That teacher ended up dying. Her brother ended up dying. And then her husband was really sick. Mm-hmm. So I think there's two types of people. There are people who look at it as, okay, but for the most part, everything will go smoothly. Yeah, we'll have to quarantine sometimes. Yeah, we'll have, you know, somebody may get really sick, but overall, most kids and most families will be okay. And then you have people more like us who are like, you know, our family will probably be safe, but I don't want to even take the chance to spread it and to get anyone sick. And that our kids will temporarily be okay until we're able to really get this thing under control. So the fully in-person thing really scares me, especially because it's full capacity. All the kids are in the building at one time. And I think that hybrid, that middle hybrid method, which is we're going to talk about next, I think is the most ideal out of the three.
Yeah, I mean, to wrap up the in-person, I always feel like, and I will say this for the rest of my life, everything is all good until it isn't.
I know.
And when you're talking about a virus, something that you can't see, something that you can't control, it's great when you're in person. Like, oh, we went 6 months. We didn't have a single case.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you have one person that comes in sick and now you have 200 cases. So it's something that, you know, I think we need to be cautious of, but we're seeing it. There are schools that have had to go backwards, that have had to quarantine because there are students who've had it.
But there's a lot of people who think that that's fine. Like, okay, we may have to quarantine. We know people are going to get sick. We know that schools are going to have to quarantine. We know these things, but we'll just be prepared for it. They'll quarantine, then they'll come back and they'll continue to learn. But for them, I guess that's less of life being disrupted because this virtual thing is disrupting whole lifestyles. Like, people have to switch their entire ways of living to adjust to the virtual learning situation. So I guess the in-person is less disruptive.
No.
It is less disruptive for people's, like, during the year, your kids are in school.
Well, compared to a normal time period, but right now, I don't know. I mean, you're in there, you have your desk set up, looks like you're in a plastic box. You know, you're eating by yourself. You know, you can't really get too close to anyone. Is it that normal?
Okay, you have a good point. I think that norm could be, like, I could adjust to that. I think especially how you're approaching it as a teacher and as a school, you can really set the tone for the school to look different, and it not affect the kids as much as people. And the people who are, you know, voting for virtual learning, they are saying, who wants to send their kid to a school where they have to social distance and they can't hug the teachers and they can't high five and they can't play with their friends? I think we worry a lot more than the kids actually worry. I think the kids are way more resilient than we give them credit for. I know if I were a teacher and I had to have a class like that, I would make it lit. Like, it would still be fun. We would still make sure that the kids had fun. We may not be dancing together, but we can stand up and dance in the class. Like, there are ways that we can get around that. I think that will be fine. I think that's why I think it's super important that we as parents, we as teachers, we really monitor how we talk about this thing, because our kids are going to take in everything we say and they're going to take on our feelings about it. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of times we stress out about things more than it really will impact the kids. And so if I had any advice to parents, I would just say, really watch how you talk about this thing, because at the end of the day, if your school district decided virtual learning is the way to go, that's it. Like, that's your reality. Deal with.
Like, yeah, just like, take it and go.
We can sit and complain and we can make it miserable and we can make the kids feel miserable about it, or we can really pump them up and to tell them that they can do this and that they're capable and that things are going to be just fine and that this is just temporary. So
I do understand both sides, though.
There are no both sides.
Everyone complains for a reason. I mean, there are some valid feelings
you
to that
emotion.
You can
complain all you want, but don't
you can't project
it
on your
kids.
You just can't project it on your kids. But that stress is real. I mean, if you got to work two jobs and you got to worry about that, or even if you're a teacher, you got to teach. But what about your own kids who have to learn virtually as well? So I get, you know, that stress. Complaining isn't going anywhere. It's just how do you need to figure out how to harness that energy and use it in a way that it doesn't impact your kids. Because as we know, you say something, the kids will repeat it and take it.
Listen,
in
TJ, literally the other day, I was talking to someone about virtual learning and homeschool, whatever. And he comes in, he was like, yeah, because I'm not, he said, because I don't do really well with virtual learning. And that's clearly something he has heard me say, mm-hmm. because he didn't. He was a hot mess. But that's something he clearly heard me say. And he took that in and he, you know, I'm not good at virtual learning. Like, that's not the message that I want him to get, because at the end of the day, if he had to do virtual learning, I need him to feel confident about it. And so right now, obviously, we're in a situation where he doesn't have to do it. We have options, but, you know, we have to really be careful about that, for sure.
Speaking of options, we didn't talk about the third one, which in my opinion is the best option, and it's the hybrid option, where you can either be in class with your teachers,
yeah,
with your principals, whoever it may be, or you could be at home learning virtually. What do you think about it?
I think the school that I grew up going to, their original plan was to do hybrid. And I thought, at first, I was concerned, because I know a lot of teachers who were like, they want it to be virtual and they didn't want the hybrid option. And so I felt for them, because they do have families and they may have family members who are sick or whatever the case may be. But what I thought was good about the virtual option, I mean, about the hybrid option, is that you had a choice. You have teachers who do want to be in the building who don't care. And you have parents who want to send their kids. And then you have some people who think it's crazy and that want to keep their kids home. So it's like, okay, you know, this is perfect. If you choose to, you want to put your kids, you know, and just take the chance, then you have that option. But I think it a lot of things got messed up with the logistics of it. And then just dealing with the teachers and getting pushback from teachers. And if the teachers don't feel safe, they shouldn't be forced to be in that situation. And I totally agree with that. And so I thought the hybrid option would have been the best if it could work logistically, but it doesn't, for our county at least, it didn't work out. And they ended up changing it to go back to fully virtual.
I think it works best in terms of the hybrid model for the kid who doesn't learn very well through the computer.
Yeah.
Because some people are just hands-on learners. They need someone right there. They have to see one in someone in person. They may have attention issues. They may even have an IEP or a learning disability, right? Like, they just learn better with someone talking to them directly. And I would probably say myself, like, I probably learn better in a situation where someone's talking directly to me. So I understand that completely, and that should be an option for some people. And there are some cities that are doing that for kids who have challenges learning or different abilities. But as always, someone's going to be left out.
Yeah, that's, I was just going to say, because when we talked to Baltimore City, they were talking about trying to come up with some ways to bring in students who really don't have support system at home and that literally need to be with an adult. But you're going to get pushback. Like, that's not fair. No situation is going to be completely fair. And I think a lot of us from, and I can admit to this too, because I even complained about some things that because it didn't work out perfectly for my child, but for the greater good and for the majority of the kids, something like that would be great. So just because I can't send my kid in, I know I have the resources, I know I have the capability to teach him at home, it would be really selfish of me to then complain about the school district providing opportunities for students who really don't have it. But you're going to see that. You're going to get so many people complaining about that, for sure. If kids aren't safe to go in school, why are you letting some kids in school?
Right.
And so, but the other thing with the hybrid option that was good is that it limited the number of kids each day. So at least the numbers were reduced to half. And I know as a teacher, if I really had a smaller group of kids, I could get done what I got done in a week in 2 days if I had a smaller group of kids. And so I don't think that's going to be an issue. But I can't wait to see. Obviously, we can make any decision now and it seemed great, but it's only time's going to tell which decision is the right decision.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, online learning, learning in person and the hybrid model. But I think we probably should have talked about the idea of pods. You know, it may not be something that the schools are actually doing, but families are actually creating pods.
But again, that's separating the haves from the have nots. Like, people who can afford to pay a teacher or to pay a tutor to meet with a small group of kids, those kids are going to excel. They have that almost one-on-one attention. My friend had a family tell her basically that a group of 4 or 5 of them were each going to pay to hire a teacher. And so that teacher,
they still looking for somebody.
I know, right? Like, if I could really make some money right now if I did that. And the idea of the pods is great for the kids who can access it. That's the thing. Like, I would be all for, even right now, if TJ had 4 friends who they were all, you know, in first grade and they could come over here and all learn together. Like, that would be beautiful. And those kids would really excel. But again, it leaves out the kids who can't afford it. And we're kind of trying to brainstorm now how we can kind of do the pod model with some kids who, you know, whose families can't support them in that way.
Yeah, that's for sure been a major conversation in our house, because we're talking about everyone else and their kids and their parents. And we've decided, we together, you know, we decided that we're going to homeschool our kids. And I say we, I really mean Chanel.
No. Don't even think about it. Because listen, I already said from the jump, because you were really on board with the homeschool thing. And I made it very clear.
I have to lead the way.
That we're in this together, and that you primarily are the toddler class teacher for Coco. So,
oh my God,
be prepared for that. I got the 2 older ones. You're going to have to keep little miss occupied for the day. But the homeschool, honestly, that decision was made, one, because I was a teacher. If I wasn't a teacher, I would not be making this decision. Our kids would be doing virtual learning and I would just support them how I can. But because, one, it's kind of slightly selfish. Like, I've been itching to get back in the classroom. And so it really excited me to be able to be creative and to lesson plan again and to, you know, give my kids what I know they need. but not everyone has that background. And so it's tougher. And I know a lot of parents I've been talking to are right now working on their beautiful home classrooms and all that fun stuff and thinking they need all these things. And I am working on my classroom as well, but it's more because I'm excited about it. But you really, I want parents to kind of take a deep breath and realize that you don't need it to be this extravagant thing. Like, the biggest thing for me is I'm going to give the kids a space that's theirs, that they know when we're in this space, it's learning time. They know where their supplies go and where to get their materials and how to put it back. We build that responsibility and independence, but you're not going to need much. And going back, when we talked about the virtual learning, I'm hoping that more schools are going to give out supplies. And I know Baltimore City for sure, they're working with partners to make sure kids have what they need at home. And the school supply lists aren't crazy. It's like notebooks, pencils, crayons, like maybe a pair of headphones, but the school supply list isn't crazy.
Yeah, and we're in the process now of adopting a couple of schools.
Yeah.
To make sure that their kids have all of the supplies that they need. So if you want to support, stay tuned for that. We'll be posting about that on social media here soon. But with the schools doing everything that they can, understanding that the times that we're in are different, it's been amazing to see what a place like even Baltimore is doing to try to make sure that the kids have everything that they need. You know, they're in the process now of trying to acquire enough Chromebooks or laptops to make sure that kids can learn digitally.
Yeah, and they have to make that happen.
But there's been a massive digital divide in our country for a long time. And now, because of this pandemic, it just became so clear that everyone is really all in and trying to figure out how to help this issue.
Yeah, I think that for me, when you look at the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, or the light in the darkness, that piece of us really doing all that we can to make sure we're meeting the needs of our students. Like you said, the digital divide has been around for years and nothing has been done to close it much. And so now that we have no choice, it's getting done. I thought it was also interesting, even for people who work, employers are finding out, oh, I can give my employees the flexibility to work from home a couple of days. Mm-hmm. That's something that people have always wanted and needed, but they couldn't get. But now that we have to do it, we're doing it. And same thing with parents. Oh, I'm so much more involved with my kids learning. Like, I have to actually sit down and do work with them. Yeah, that's something they've always needed and wanted, but now you have no choice but to do it. So I think those little moments of like, oh, this can work. Oh, we can find the money to do this. Oh, we can make sure we can sit down with our kids and be more involved in their education. Those are the little, you know, sunshine in the storm for me that I'm like, good. Like, this is good that people are, through this horrible situation, they're finding ways to be more engaged, to be more focused on the kids. And so, I don't know. I think our mindset, I'll keep saying it over and over again, how we address this, how we approach it is going to be everything. In any situation, things could always be worse, right?
Absolutely.
So I think we got to keep that at the forefront. Yeah, you may have to be an assistant teacher at home. At the end of the day, the fact that you're able to do that is great. You know, there's some people who can't do that. And at the end of the day, our kids are going to be okay. Again, we feel for the families who are really, really, truly struggling through this and don't know how it's going to work for them. And I'm praying that either, you know, someone could be of help to them and that our eyes will be open to help more people through this process too. So,
and that's part of the reason why, you know, we decided to homeschool as well. It allows us flexibility to help others.
Yeah.
In that situation. So we don't know exactly what that looks like yet, because again, there are restrictions with COVID, but we understand exactly what's going on. And we always talk about being this village and creating this village that can help everyone around us. You know, I think we've seen some of the best in people, even during these trying times. I've seen so many different people giving away food. I've seen so many different people trying to provide technology for kids early on to have access. And now, you know, the time is there now to still ramp it up, because even though things may be moving in the direction of trying to be more normal, you know, these issues and challenges are still there and people still need our help. And it's all hands on deck.
And I hope it continues beyond COVID. Like I hope if COVID magically disappears that people still have that same compassion. And it's what's been sad for me is to watch how divided we are on these topics. And I'm part of all these parent groups and all the, you know, all the school board meetings and all that. And just to hear the way we're talking about these things and about people who don't agree with your decision, that's been kind of sad to witness. I've also been seeing a bunch of people say, whatever that person's decision is, say, great. I know that was a hard decision for you to make, but, you know, I hope it works out the best for you. Instead, we're pointing fingers. We're shaming people.
You're a liberal.
And it's that part of it is like, and I know our kids are feeding off of it. Like, I know our kids are soaking in all of that negativity. So, I mean, we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I know we have to check ourselves too, that we're not judgmental when people are, it's hard not to when people say things like the kids should just go to school and no mask should be worn. Like, it's hard for me not to be like, you're crazy. But we need to be less judgmental through this process and everyone do what's best for them and their families. And just hope that it works out. I know there's some people who are like, I literally heard somebody say, we're waiting for somebody to get sick and die. Like, even though I may not agree with school being fully in person, I'm also not hoping that it fails for people. You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
there's a difference.
There's a difference. So we need to just get a boost of positivity through this. And y'all pray for me because homeschooling is, while it's going to be fun in some ways, it's definitely going to be challenging with my three kids. And I will keep you guys posted on how that process goes. But yeah, nah, and Tori, you better be ready. Yo, don't play with me. We need to
how
sign.
How many days a week?
We need to sign a contract.
How many days a week?
We're going to do 4 days a week.
4 days a week. Okay.
4 days a week. Fridays will be off. You have about 2 hours of commitment per day. That's it.
That ain't that bad.
Okay.
Corey counts as 6 hours.
What's today's date, though? Today's the 18th. You guys heard it here. Tori, at minimal 2 hours a day for 4 days a week. That's your commitment for homeschooling. Don't look at me. Yes.
We'll catch up with y'all next week. That wow. No, just playing. That'll be I'm in on it. You know, we have to be together. I can't say everyone all hands on deck and I'm not leading away.
Exactly.
I'm leading away. And then if Corey acts up, I'm dropping her off in there with you. So we good to go. But no, just make sure, you know, everyone's trying to stick together, trying to do what you can. You know, I know it's a time obviously we're supposed to focus on ourselves, and our own family's health. I'm telling y'all, I've grown throughout this process, even the school process. I felt like I was very judgmental towards people who didn't understand that people were trying to be safe for a reason. But now I've learned to back up a little bit and realize that, okay, it's okay for them to feel that way. Like, they want to go to school. They want what's normal for their kids. But the reality of it is, you know, nothing ever hurts you until it hits you. Right? Like, when things like this, COVID, it doesn't bother you at all until it hits home. And now we're at the point now where we've had friends who've had COVID. We have family members who've had COVID. I have a cousin that's fighting for his life right now that was completely healthy. Now he's fighting for his life because of COVID. Like, your view changes a little bit. But within that, again, as long as folks wear their masks, I don't really care what you do. So let's make sure we continue to take care of each other, wear your mask, and pray for everyone's safety. Catch y'all next week.
See ya. Peace.